Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. I will be returning to my office this weekend. So this is the last weekend where you'll have to put up with my voice not being amplified by the microphone in my studio in my office in Florida. So let's get to the podcast today. Japan raised its trading ban on 10-year Japanese government bonds, JGBs, from 25 basis points to negative 25 basis points to a positive 25 basis points, formerly, to minus 50 basis points to plus 50 basis points. Years of near zero interest rate policies for long duration JGBs led the Bank of Japan to own over 50% of all the bonds, 50% of all the equities, and to purchase all of the new debt issued from the Japanese government. This function eventually caused the yen to crash against other nations who were raising interest rates, like the United States. It also served to finally break Japan's decades-long battle with deflation. Now, I personally don't care about deflation. I think it's a very healthy thing on a moderate level. But Japan thought it was a big problem, so they've been pursuing inflation for many, many decades. And they've finally been successful. In fact, core CPI in Japan came in at a 3.7% annualized rate in November, which was a 41-year high. In reality, the Bank of Japan had no choice but to let interest rates rise, at least on the margin. The hope is that they rise on the margin. The trenchant change in the BOJ's monetary policy could, and I repeat, could, have profound effects on the U.S. dollar and U.S. Treasury bond yields. In fact, I warned about this about a month and a half or 2 months ago as one of the risks to owning long-duration treasuries. I am watching both the U.S. dollar and treasury bonds, especially on the long end of the curve, with extreme attention. However, and this is where it gets tricky, the Bank of Japan also announced the same day that it would increase, yes, I said increase, its outright purchases of Japanese government bonds to around 9 trillion yen per month. This is what happens when you allow a fiat currency to break away from gold. You allow a currency that should be backed by specie into a currency that's fiat, you get $9 trillion of confetti printed per month from January until March, up from the previously planned 7.3 trillion yen per month. So they're going the wrong way, printing 9 trillion yen a month for the next few months. Clearly, the signal they wanted to send is they do not want the market to get the idea that they are going to allow bond yields to trade anywhere near the market would push them. I mean, let's be honest. After all, with inflation near 4% and with a quadrillion yen in outstanding Japanese government debt, a market-based yield would be closer to 50% than 0.5%. The higher band could lead to the end of the yen carry trade. This is one of the dangers that I'm looking at. Now, you say, what is the yen carry trade? Wall Street speculators, of course, they're always part of everything, have been borrowing yen for decades with virtually no interest payments. Then they would sell the yen that they borrowed very cheaply for other currencies like the US dollar and purchase their higher yielding sovereign debt, as well as other more risky bonds, corporate debt, and even equities. It was virtually free gambling money. And the best part was that after these speculators collected a higher cash flow on their investments, they would just close out the carry trade and make money on the currency translation because the yen was almost always falling vis-a-vis other currencies like the US dollar. It was a win-win situation. Now, don't call your local broker and say, I want to start borrowing yen. Doesn't work for you. It works for the investment banks and pension funds and hedge funds. Doesn't work for the small guy. I work for the small guy, not the hedge funds. But now the yen is in danger of spiking. And that sends chills down the spines of these speculators. And that might cause them to close out these trades, which involves, again, the selling of U.S. dollars, the selling of U.S. assets, selling of dollars, and buying back the yen. And I hesitate, hasten to add that the Japanese government is one of the biggest holders of U.S. dollar-denominated sovereign bonds. You close out these hedges, speculation. Of course, reducing leverage is great in the long term, but leads to an increase of chaos in the short term as these leverage bets get unwound. And some of the consequences are deflation, collapsing asset prices, and depressions. Japanese yields shoot higher. Again, as the biggest buyer of JGB steps away, which is the Japanese Central Bank, it would also drag U.S. Treasury yields higher as well. This is because it would create less demand for U.S. debt. I mean, why not stay domestically and buy your own bonds, especially when factoring in currency hedges that are involved with buying other foreign debt? It would, and as I said, it would put more demand on JGBs domestically. The following is the predicament Japan is currently in and where the rest of the developed world is headed soon. High rates of inflation brought about by decades of reckless fiscal and monetary policies and onerous levels of outstanding debt, it's a deadly combination, are pressuring interest rates much higher. However, if the market were allowed to function freely, the rise of interest rates would be so extreme relative to the debt outstanding that it would render corporate and sovereign debt markets insolvent, meaning nations would dissolve, default, and enter into utter chaos. So in the end, central banks, not just Japan, Japan's here now, there now, we're headed right on the coattails. Europe, and yes, China too. The sad truth is that central banks cannot fully step away from interest rate suppression. In other words, printing money to keep yields low. But that very act is inflationary, of course, because again, it involves massive money creation. The printing of massive amounts of new money, which then puts relentless upward pressure on yields. You see the conundrum now. The outcome I see is for cyclical periods of rapid inflation, followed by cyclical periods of deflation, which involves market crashes and depressions. I also expect these periods to happen more frequently and with greater intensity over time. The saddest result from this massive and unprecedented intrusion on the part of governments into the free markets means that they have usurped the functionality of free markets. In fact, free markets remain dead and buried. And that means they will not be resuscitated anytime in the foreseeable future. This means that our position in long-term treasuries has a very short string. Now, in closing, I'd like to say instead of tuning to CNBC and watching bottom pickers smelling their fingers, that's all they end up with. They pick bottoms over and over again. They continue to be wrong. It's not time to pick bottoms because You're just going to end up with very smelly fingers. Let's give a quick update on the recession. Durable goods orders declined by 2.1% or $5.8 billion in November to $270.6 billion, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. This reading came in worse than the expectation for a decrease of 0.6%. Excluding defense, new orders decreased 2.6%. Turning to the home market, real estate market, S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index fell for the fourth month in a row, but down just 0.5% month over month and still up 9.2% year over year. But U.S. pending home sales fell to the second lowest on record, down 4% month over month for the sixth straight month of declines. The takeaway here is that home sales are plunging, but prices are only just starting to roll over slowly at this point. However, I expect home values, home prices, will fall much more sharply as the lack of demand next year catches up with prices and as the U.S. recession intensifies throughout 2023. In closing, I'm praying for all the people in the PPS family for a 2023 that is filled with God's blessings as we seek to follow His guidance and His path.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.